Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for Biz Rocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio. This is John Baker, and we want to welcome you in this morning. We've got a great show for you this morning, speaking to an author of a book that many of you out there who are trying to work with business-to-business sales will learn a lot from. Biz Rocket Radio is a show where we get an opportunity to chat with and interview executives and other business owners that are in the Atlanta area and learn from the successes that they've had as well as some of the challenges and experiences through their career. And today we have with us Steve Bistritz, and Steve is the president and founder of Learning Solutions International. So I first want to welcome in Steve.
Good morning. Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Good to have you in. So Steve and I had a chance to chat a little bit before the show, and I've had a chance to kind of review over his book and some of the information that he does. A great topic with selling to the C-suite, but maybe you could tell us a little bit about your background just to kind of get things started off.
Sure, John. I actually was a salesperson with IBM for 28 years, actually in sales management, and then training management positions. I actually managed a training initiative for a billion-dollar division of IBM that was located here in Atlanta. And then when I, quote, retired from IBM, I went to work for a small sales training company, again, here in Atlanta. And I did that for about 9 years or so. And then I started my own company, SellXL.com, about 10 years ago. And now I focus on helping business-to-business salespeople do a better job of creating, maintaining, and leveraging relationships with executives in the C-suite. So that's been my focus probably over the last 20 or 25 years ago. And that's what really propelled me to write this book or co-author this book called Selling to the C-Suite that was published by McGraw-Hill in 2010.
So tell us a little bit about the book. What is the Selling to the C-Suite focus on?
Well, it's actually a little bit of a different book from a sales perspective because most of the books out there on selling are written from the salesperson's perspective. You know, all the tips, the tricks, the techniques that they used to get to executives in the C-suite. But when I was trying to create a workshop for professional salespeople on selling to executives, what I wanted to do is learn from the executive's perspective about their relationships with professional salespeople. So that really started my, my search in terms of trying to find out from those executives, you know, what made a great salesperson? How did they feel about salespeople? How did they establish relationships with salespeople? And we started some research projects, and this is when I was with that small sales training company here in Atlanta. And we started to go out and interview CXO-level executives, asking them about their relationships with professional salespeople. And we did a number of those research projects, mainly in North America initially, but then the project was expanded into Europe and Asia. And those pieces of the project were actually done by my co-author, the co-author of the book, Selling to the C-Suite.
So when you had an opportunity to interview these individuals that were executives and C-level, whether they CFO, CEO, or CIO, or any other C-level that you're talking to, what kind of questions did you ask them? What did you learn about their perspective? Because it's an interesting concept.
Right.
Finding out from their side of the coin, what are they looking for?
Right. And the first focus, well, actually, there were about four or five areas of focus. The first area of focus was, when and why did senior executives get involved in the decision process for major purchases? Because we really wanted to understand, were these the right executives to get to as it related to a sales opportunity? The second area of focus was, what's the most effective way for a salesperson to get access to an executive? What has to happen in meetings with salespeople for the executive to feel it was an effective meeting? And lastly, we sort of had some questions around the area of, how do salespeople establish trust and credibility with them so that the salespeople get return access? You know, it's pretty easy for a salesperson to get initial access to an executive, but how do they get that return access? And probably more importantly, how does a salesperson get the executive to call them so that they bring them into new opportunities that they can pursue in their organization?
Well, you bring up a great point, which was the very first thing you talked about. When are they involved? I mean, the C-level execs, maybe for smaller organizations, they may be the primary people there in the first place. So obviously, that's different than a Fortune 500 company. So when are those larger organizations, C-level execs, really getting involved in these kinds of decisions?
Right. Well, what we tried to do for the executive was we outlined what we call the typical buying process, and it actually was consisted of eight different steps. And we asked them, and we really delineated a little bit further. We said, okay, let's look at this as the early, middle, and late stages of the buying process and try to find out when those executives, the C-level executives, got involved in the buying process. And what we found out was that they got involved early to set the objectives for the project, set the strategy, but they also got involved late to help monitor the implementation of the solution and to measure the results. So this really brought a couple of things in focus. Number one, the middle area of the buying cycle or process, if you will, those executives said they tended to delegate down those steps to lower level executives in their organization.
Right.
And, you know, what that told us is that if a salesperson is the recipient of an RFP, for example, a request for proposal, some places it's called a request for quotation or a tender. What we found out was that in those middle steps, they weren't involved as much. So if the salesperson was the recipient of an RFP and they then tried to get access to those senior level executives, they had little success in getting to those key people. But if they established an objective of getting to that C-level executive early in the buying process, then they had access to the executive throughout the whole buying process or buying cycle.
Right. So they had access, not worrying so much about the middle stages. They had access when the decision really needed to be made. So
exactly.
You've got to start forging that relationship with those top execs, although they're not the ones you're going to be getting in contact with to start with.
Perhaps. And you don't always get to the right executive early in the buying process. The other thing about, you know, when those executives get involved, and this is, I think, an important issue for professional salespeople, and that is that those executives want to understand the value a vendor solution delivered to them. And we say to salespeople, that's a free ticket for you. When those, when you're about to communicate your value, don't do it at the low levels. Make sure you go back to the senior executive and communicate the value that your solution delivered to them. And what we also found out in the process was that these executives, the executives who got involved in the process and were the C-level executives, they often were what I call the relevant executive for the sales opportunity, or perhaps somebody on their staff was what I call the relevant executive for the opportunity. And if we can align with that executive, you can oftentimes have that executive selling your solution for you, even when you're not on site in the company's offices. In fact, when you're not there, they will often sell in your absence. And that's what you want to get to. You want to get that right executive selling the right solution for you and up there claiming that your solution is the best solution for them personally and for their company. And you can only do that if you start to access those executives early in that process and start to develop that relationship with them.
Okay, so clearly having a relationship with an upper-level executive is going to be important in terms of closing the deal. Mm-hmm. How do you get your foot in the door? I mean, you got it's not easy to get any kind of attention from these guys if you really don't have it in yet.
Right. Yeah, the best way, what executives told us was the best way to get to them was one of two different ways, actually three. The first was if you were working with a lower level executive in their organization, you could ask that lower level executive to sponsor a meeting with you and the senior level executive. So that was one way to do it.
Okay.
The second way is, and I think a very important way and overlooked, is to treat the gatekeeper as a resource.
Yeah.
Treat the gatekeeper as if he or she was the executive himself or herself. And I actually take it one step further. I say treat the gatekeeper as if they were the executive. Because when you do that, they will help you gain access to the executive. And I can't tell you how many times that has worked for me. Excuse me. Not only in my career with IBM and other companies, but also in my own business. And recently, within the past year, within the past 18 months, I have developed relationships with gatekeepers that have helped me gain access to the executive. And I said there was a third way, and the third way is to use some people in your network to help you gain access to an executive. People that you know that might know the executive. And today we have an easy way to find out if you may have people in your network who know the executive. For example, something like LinkedIn. You can go to that source and find out who that executive is connected to, and perhaps that's also one of your connections. So you can ask that person to help you get an audience with the C-level executive.
How important have you found, this is a bit of a tangent, but how important have you found it to be active on a LinkedIn type of a program?
Well, I think you have to be active in those environments today. I mean, you just can't, as a salesperson, as an independent business person, if you're in your own business, if you're trying to get to senior executives, one of the easiest way is to have one of those connections help you gain access. So I think it's absolutely critical. I have more than 400 people in my network, as an example. Now, some people go overboard with this. I've seen people on LinkedIn that have more than 5,000 connections. I think they just toss their business card out into the, you know, to Turner Field and see how many of them are picked up or something of that nature. So I don't recommend that. But, you know, treat a network as something that you can work, that something that you can use, and something that you can that can help you gain advantage to executives. And also, you want to be a resource for others also. You know, pay it forward. You know, go and help others do the same thing that you're asking other people to do for you.
When you are working with salespeople, what do you train them? What do you teach them in terms of things that they need to be thinking about and focusing on to get to that level of an executive and to actually, you know, make the sale?
Great question. And, you know, one of the things we found and over the years now, and I've been focusing on a workshop called either Selling to Executives, Selling to Senior Executives, or my workshop, which is actually called Selling at the Executive Level, and my business is called SellXL.com, and the book was actually based on my workshop. And what I try to tell salespeople to do is, here are a couple of things that you should remember when you're initially trying to get into an organization. Number one, you've got to make certain that your solution, the solution that you're trying to sell into this client organization, can deliver specific business value to the client executive and to the organization. So you want to keep in the back of your mind, you know, how you're going to be able to articulate that specific business value. And I call, and I use that term specific business value, because I want your value to be differentiated from that of your competitors. You want to have some specific value. Secondly, before you go in to meet with an executive, so many salespeople are afraid to meet with executives. And they should be, because if you blow a call at the executive level, your chances of getting into that person's office again are zero to none. So you want to make sure that you're ready, that you've done the right research in terms of developing an understanding of the client's industry, the client's company, and then the client executive himself or herself. And then, as I said before, you want to treat that gatekeeper as a resource. And lastly, you want to be able to communicate how similar solutions that you've delivered to other clients have helped solve problems and deliver value.
So almost to a certain degree, showing the results. So going
exactly.
in, being able
exactly.
to say, here's the value, here's what we will be able to provide.
Right.
Be able to connect with that person and not mess up the opportunity that you have on game day, as it were.
Right.
And then being able to communicate past successes that you've had efficiently and move on from there.
Right.
Okay.
And the other thing, when a salesperson is trying to communicate value, value really comes from three sources. And again, I talk a little bit about this in the book, but it's your personal value, the value a salesperson brings to the client organization, your background, your experience. Secondly, the value of your company's resources. What other resources are in your company that you can bring to this organization? And thirdly, the value of your solution. And let me tell you a quick story about that. When we were doing some of these research projects, in fact, on the initial project, we actually did a practice interview with another one of the sponsors of the research project. And the executive in that company, we went to meet with him, went down through our list of questions, asked all the questions that we were supposed to ask. And I say we because I was working with, we were working with and using MBA students from both the University of North Carolina and Georgia State University. And when we were finished with all the interview questions, I turned to the executive and I said to him, now, Jim, tell me why a person at your level, this was the CIO of a major company whose name you would recognize, and I said to him, why would you want to meet with a professional salesperson? And he said to me an answer that I'll never forget in the quotes in my book, and he said, Steve, I want to meet with professional salespeople because often they can offer me solutions to some of my problems that even people within my own organization can't come up with. They've seen these problems in other companies. They've solved them, and I want the benefit of that experience.
So they're looking at that person as a resource,
exactly,
versus as a nuisance.
Right. And not only that, but you know, salespeople are worried that they're here at this low level talking to this person of senior rank, while the executive sitting on the other side of the table doesn't necessarily concerned about rank. He's concerned about the value that you can deliver to him and his organization.
Now, you know, you'd mentioned something in your literature about becoming a trusted advisor.
Right.
Which I could imagine is critical in this type of a relationship. If an executive is going to turn to somebody and say, look, you're somebody that I would look to for solutions, possibly over and above who are on my own team, right, although I know the only way you're going to get paid is if you sell me something. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to trust what this person is trying to do for that organization. Help us understand a little bit more about this trusted advisor and how you become one.
Right. Well, the first thing is that there's different levels of business relationship that you can have with a client executive. And it ranges, I'll talk about four different stages of business relationship. The first is a commodity supplier. And if you're initially calling on a client executive and just trying to sell a service or a product, you might be perceived as the commodity supplier. But you can get to the next step of what I call an emerging resource as you start to develop an understanding, a better understanding of their industry, their company, and the executive himself or herself. And then stage three is where you start to become a problem solver, where you actually solve some of the problems that are facing the executive and the organization. And then you elevate yourself to step four or stage four, where you become that trusted advisor, where you've worked with this executive over a period of time, and now they see you as someone who they can trust, and they will bring you in more often. They will show you that you're perceived as the trusted advisor, that you've developed this level of business relationship with them. You've solved problems over time. You're not just worried about getting your commission for your solution. You're interested in helping that executive solve problems with your solutions, and you're more interested in delivering value than you are in selling commodities.
Do you know when you are one?
Yes, absolutely. And I'll often be in a meeting with professional salespeople, 20, 40, 50, 100, hundreds, and I'll say, okay, I want a show of hands after I've explained that process of how many people think they are a trusted advisor or have that level of relationship or have had a level of relationship with an executive. And what I'll find out is a lot of people raise their hands. And then I'll say the next question, now tell me what the executive has done for you or to you to show you that they perceive that you're a trusted advisor. Have they brought you into internal meetings? Have they shared confidential information with you? Have they offered to serve as a reference for you? Have they referred you into other clients? So when the relationship becomes collaborative, you then are that trusted advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the... Now, salespeople, however, cannot develop that level of relationship with each and every executive they ever come in contact with. Why? It takes time.
Yeah.
It takes resources. And you can't do that with every executive. What I tell salespeople to do is pick your spots. Find out which organizations and what executives do you want to have that relationship with. One more point about that. Not every client executive wants a trusted advisor level relationship with a salesperson. So you've also got to be aware of that. Most do, but some don't.
Yeah. They want to keep it at arm's length.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
So let's say I'm a salesperson out there that is dealing with a C-suite, and I would love to get in contact with you and do something like this. walk me through the process. What would I? What would happen if I engaged your services?
Well, most of my services revolve around two of the workshops that I have available. Actually, one is called Selling at the Executive Level, and that was the workshop on which the book was based. Mm-hmm. And it's a one-day workshop. I have facilitators who I work with who've been professional salespeople, sales managers, sales executives, some of whom have worked around the world. And my workshops have been delivered on virtually every continent. And in fact, we're going to do the first workshop in Africa in October of this year. So that will complete the all the continents except Antarctica.
Maybe found, one you don't want to go
found
to.
Anybody down there yet. but what's significant is that when salespeople go through the workshop and it's a one-day session, they walk away from the workshop with lots of ideas on how they can, you know, change their approach of dealing with executives. And one of the things I tell salespeople is that my workshop is actually going to help them implement some sort of change with executives. And I'll tell one quick story here. And I do this in my workshop. And I'll say to salespeople, you know, change always reminds me of a story. It's a story about a pastor of a church whose assistant pastor had been transferred to another location. And the pastor wanted to give the assistant pastor an appropriate going away party. So he arranged for this church luncheon on a Sunday morning. And the day of the service and the day of the luncheon, he went down into the cafeteria area, saw that the tables were in place, food was out. And all of a sudden, his eye was attracted toward the floral spray sitting next to the head table. And the inscription on the floral spray said, "Our deepest sympathy." And the pastor picked up his cell phone, called the florist, and he said, "Bob, I don't understand the inscription on the floral spray. First of all, we weren't really that sorry to see the assistant pastor leave." And the florist said, "Well, pastor, you think you have a problem, but somewhere across town, there's a floral spray sitting next to a casket. And the inscription is, good luck in your new location."
So you got to be careful with the details as
right,
well, right?
Right, exactly.
That's the moral of that story. Make sure the details are covered.
Right, right.
That's great. You've got different stages of selling proficiency, and I think there's four of them that you focused on.
Right.
Is it critical that you go through each one of these areas? Are there any that can be skipped?
Well, I don't think you're going to skip any, but the time it takes for you to go from first stage to second stage to third stage, you can accelerate the process by what you learn and what you do and how you develop your relationships with senior client executives. You know, I found that oftentimes we have people out there who have been in sales for some period of time, and I'll see people who have 20 years of sales experience, but unfortunately it's 1 year of experience done 20 times over.
Right.
They've learned nothing, okay?
Yep.
And then you have the people who, after a year, 18 months, can develop that trusted advisor level relationship with a client executive. And it's focusing on the right issues at the right time with the right people in the client organization. And we talk a lot about that in my workshop. And again, the workshop is focused on helping salespeople create, maintain, and leverage relationships with senior client executives. That's what it's focused on. And my objective is for that salesperson to leave the workshop and be immediately able to apply the concepts they just learned.
What in these workshops,
right.
So I would imagine they're usually done at conventions or for company-sponsored event type things?
Right. Right? Yeah, they're private workshops done for usually a single company, although we have had multiple companies involved in some of the workshops. But we don't do public sessions. A customer or client has to commit to the workshop, and then we deliver the session and then have a reinforcement process to help the salespeople reinforce the things they've learned also.
Do you have any examples of benefits or advances that salespeople that have gone through this have actually experienced?
Yeah, well, first of all, we tell them and show them how to identify that relevant executive for the sales opportunity, how to gain access to those executives, and we talked about some of the ways here, but we talk about it in more detail in the workshop. So that's the second point. The third point is we teach them or help them learn, better said, what to say when they get in that first face-to-face meeting with a client executive. How do you conduct yourself, and what outcomes should you look for after that first call with a client executive? Third, we teach them how to become perceived as the trusted advisor. How does the salesperson establish that level of relationship? Again, so that the relationship becomes collaborative. And lastly, the fourth point is that we help those salespeople understand that communicating value is absolutely critical. You have to stay in front of that. You have to take the initiative and get out there and consistently communicate your value on some level of frequency with the client executive so that the client executive understands the value you bring to them and their organization. Do not assume the executive understands that. And I tell you that counts for any level executive. The CEO of the company reports to a board of advisors or to a board of directors. And that CEO, if he or she has just implemented a $500,000 solution, in other words, they bought your products and services for $500,000, they want to go back to the board or to whoever they report to, and they want to say, now, look, we spent $500,000, but we got or received $2 million in value. That return on investment is 400%. So they want to be able to share with the people they work with and report to the fact that they made the right decision in implementing your solution.
Great. So let me change gears a little bit to the book.
Sure.
You finished writing the book, or it got published in 2010, right?
Right.
And how did you go through deciding to write the book?
Well, I think what had happened was, number one, I had been delivering this workshop, Sell Excel workshop, for a number of years. We did this research project, or we did these research projects across the world, and we wanted to get a book out there that would help salespeople understand this process. Not every one of them can attend a Sell Excel workshop, so we wanted to give the individual salesperson out there, or the entrepreneur, or the CEO, business owner of a company who, in effect, is the professional salesperson selling his or her solutions into client organizations, and help them understand the best way to get to those executives and start to create that relationship and start to engage with client executives so that the relationships become collaborative. So that was how we started. Now, there was an interesting story to how we got the book published, and I'll share that with you.
Please.
Yeah. Some people, I think, when they write a book, want to be very close vest about, keep it close to the vest. They don't want to share the book with others because they think people might steal some of the content or use some of the content or perhaps go off and self-publish a book by themselves. But my co-author and I developed the book. We probably developed about 90% of what is in the book today. And then we created a PDF of it and sent it to probably 40 or 50 people in the sales arena, if you will. And some of these were company executives. Some of these were sales, what I would say, sales training gurus and others. And one of the people we sent the PDF to was Neil Rackham. Now, Neil Rackham wrote the book Spin Selling, the most popular sales book ever published in the history of the world. It's sold over 2 million copies over 25 years. And his comeback to us was that, well, you know, I get so many of these requests that I usually only respond to about 10% of them. And like 2 weeks later, we got a great quote from Neil. He absolutely loved the book, as did many of the other people who we sent the PDF to. We had probably 49 of 50 people respond with a quote on what they thought about the book and its value. So we created a package then that went out to a number of book publishers, and we sent the package to 4 book publishers and had in that package a copy of the book. We actually went out and created a spiral-bound book-size copy with a cover on the book of what the book would look like. The original title for the book was Selling at the Executive Level, which is based on my workshop, and sent a proposal to these 4 different book publishers. And my wife and I went off on a 2.5-week 40th anniversary trip to Hawaii. And by the time I got back, we had interest from 2 different publishers.
Wow, that's awesome.
And one of them was McGraw-Hill. Mm-hmm. I won't share with you who the other was, but mm-hmm. it's a name you would recognize. And then we got a call from the editor, the person who ultimately became the editor for our book, and she said that this book has to go through a number of processes. And one of them was an internal editorial board review, and that happened about 2 weeks later. And the day of the review, the editor called me up. She said, "Steve, you're not going to believe what happened here." She said, "We went into the meeting and of my peers to review the book, and in walks the division president for this division of McGraw-Hill, and he happened to be the editor that took Neil Rackham's Spin Selling book through the business at McGraw-Hill. And he sees the quote from Neil Rackham, and he says, well, if Neil said it's a great book, we got to do it. That's basically what happened.
It's kind of like getting the referral into the good to the C-suite, right?
By accident.
That's right.
By accident.
Didn't even mean to happen.
Right. And then we went back to Neil and said, "Hey, Neil, would you be willing to write the foreword for us?" And he said, "Absolutely." And he did that, and the rest is history, as they say.
And now it's a best-selling book.
Best-selling sales book. Absolutely. Yeah,
that's great. Great stuff. So, one of the things we like to kind of end up our sessions with is just getting an idea of a pearl of wisdom that maybe you could share with our listeners.
Right. Well, I think I have a couple for you. Number one, you know, I talked a lot about making certain you've done the right level of research before you meet with a client executive. And what I tell salespeople is your homework is either going to get you in or do you in. So make sure you do the right amount of homework. The second thing is that salespeople need to understand the following. Executives buy not when they understand, but when they feel they are understood. Okay, think about that. Executives buy not when they understand, but when they feel they are understood. So the secondary bullet under that would be make sure you listen before you propose your solution to the executive or to the executive's company. And the last thing is that, you know, everything I've talked about here today and everything that's in the book is really common sense. What I try to do in my workshop and in the book is to help salespeople put that into common practice.
Perfect. So if somebody wanted to reach out to you, Steve,
sure.
and get in contact, what's the best way to get in communication with you?
My email address is steveb@sellxl.com, like sellextralarge.com. steveb@sellexcel.com, or they can call me in Atlanta at 404-256-1801, or they can simply go on my website and contact me through my website, simplysellexcel.com.
Okay. Well, Steve, we appreciate your time and coming out today. And great stuff. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll have you back in and get an update on how things are going.
Love to do that. And hopefully next time I come back, my voice won't be as scratchy. I apologize for
that. No, you did great. Enough water gets you through anything.
Right.
All right. Well, to our listeners, we appreciate your time. And until next week, be safe.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA. SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation.